Good morning, friends. Thank you for the leading of the opening worship. It's wonderful sometimes to have that opportunity to just be part of the congregation and worship and listen to the Father's voice. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you that you have drawn us here. Your Spirit has led us here to be together as the body of Christ. And we come with grateful hearts. We come with open hearts to receive your gifts of grace. Grant, O Lord, as we now ponder, reflect, and focus upon the words of Holy Scripture, may your divine Spirit open our hearts and minds, that we are ready to receive your word to us, that our faith may be strengthened, our love may be deepened, and our walk with you will be ever and more faithful to the glory of your eternal name. Amen. Well, friends, it is an absolute joy and privilege and delight to be here this morning at Haverhill. When I was looking at my preaching dates, which are sorted out by my administrator as I travel across East Anglia, I realised I would be here this Sunday about a week after stationing and our appointment process. And I am so delighted for you. I am so excited for you as a congregation for the match that we have made with Moses John. I believe it is a match that has been born through much prayer and reflection. I think there is a real match of gifts and graces, and God has his hand upon this. Of that, I am sure. And so I am really delighted, and I'm excited for you, looking forward. I mean, it will really not be long once we get the other side of Christmas. It will soon roll round to the beginning of a new connectional year. And I hope that you will welcome Moses with all of your love and prayers and faith and work together as the people of God. So that's wonderful. Now, to begin with, I want to remind you of some words from that reading from Isaiah that we read. And it's Isaiah 45, verse 3. Isaiah says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. In the later part of the summer, on a lovely day, Jean and I, had a day off, and we went up to the North Norfolk coast. Don't know whether you're familiar with the North Norfolk coast, but it's a beautiful coastline. And we went to a place called Overstrand, which is about 3 or 4 miles down the coast from Cromer. And we climbed down from the cliffs and we walked along the beach to Cromer, and we had a couple of hours there, and then we walked back, and we walked to the top of the cliffs at Overstrand, where there's a wonderful cafe called the Cliff Top Cafe, and we had our lunch looking out over the sea. But on our walk towards Cromer, as we walked along the beach, as we drew nearer to Cromer and the pier, I was aware that there was a group of 4 men who were beachcombing. They had their metal detectors, and they were going backwards and forwards, left and right, across the sand, across the beach. And I noticed how every so often one of them knelt down and began to dig in the sand, and then a few moments later stood up and again started moving from left to right and backwards and forwards across the sand. As we drew closer to them, one of them took his headphones off, and I got into conversation with him. And what I discovered was that they'd already been there about 2 or 3 hours, and they had found absolutely nothing at all. And I sensed his real frustration as he was sharing with me. They were a group of friends, who shared this similar hobby, and they went to various beaches, North Norfolk and Suffolk, and it had been a disappointing morning. But as we continued to talk, he then began to wax lyrical about the valuable things and the treasures that they'd found in the past, valuable coins and artifacts and curious objects that were of value, and he had many stories to tell of buried treasure. Now, I've never done metal detecting. I have no idea what's involved. But I quickly gleaned from that conversation that you clearly need some patience. There's going to be those times when nothing is found. But equally, there are going to be those joyful, surprising, wonderful moments when something valuable is found, perhaps in the most unexpected place and at the most surprising moment. The prophet Isaiah says, "I will give you treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places." At this point in time, towards the latter part of the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet is speaking to the covenant people. But he's speaking to a people who are in exile. We know that they are an oppressed people who've been taken to the land of Babylon. They're in a strange place, surrounded by strange customs. And yet, even there, they are called to be the faithful covenant people of God. Now, if you know the Psalms, you'll remember that psalm, you know, where it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we wept when we thought of Zion." Here is a people who are a long way from home. And towards the end of the book of Isaiah, we begin to get these passages of hope and the promise of restoration, and that God has not forgotten his people and that God will come to his people. And so we hear the message of hope. "I will give you treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places." Now, here is a community of people who had every reason to feel that God had abandoned them. Here was a group of people who had every reason to feel that their faith was faltering and they had been abandoned by God. If you like, an experience of being in a dark and difficult place, a challenging place of adversity. But listen to what Isaiah says. "I will give you treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places." Even in the most inhospitable place, even in the greatest place of adversity, you will discover the treasures of my grace. You will discover my presence. You will discover my hope becoming real for you, because you are mine and I love you. Imagine how that feels to hear those words. And if we know a little bit about the context, we know that God's will was being discovered through the figure of Cyrus. Cyrus was not a Jew. He was a Gentile, but he was a political leader. He was an upright king, and it was through Cyrus that the restoration and the hope was going to come to the people of Israel. So it really was like treasures of darkness and, you know, riches hidden in secret places. In the most unexpected way, in the most surprising fashion, God's will and God's presence and the treasures of God's grace are becoming evident. Now, some of you may know, I hope, or you may have heard, that this year, this Methodist Connectional Year, Our president and vice president of the conference have challenged us with this presidential theme of hidden treasure. So the presidency of the church are challenging the Methodist people to, in a sense, discover and rediscover the treasures of God's grace, the surprising riches of God's presence, perhaps in the most unexpected, surprising, and curious, and unexpected ways and places. We are being called to be treasure hunters. Now, we watched with some amusement, didn't we, earlier on, our young people looking around the church for those golden coins. I did so want to get up and have a look around. I might do that later and discover those things. You know, actually, when we think about discipleship or what it means to be followers of Jesus or people of faith or Christians, however we want to describe ourselves, I think this is a really interesting kind of theme. I want to place before you a very simple thought, a takeaway thought for today. That being a disciple is like being a treasure hunter. Part of our calling, part of our journey of discipleship, is to be people who are alert to, attentive to, opening their eyes to and opening their ears to the sights and sounds of the kingdom of God, the treasures of God's presence and the treasures of God's grace. To discover in the here and now, in the ordinary, in the mundane fabric of our lives, treasures of God's presence. Now, let's turn to the gospel reading from Matthew. And you can probably guess why I've chosen this passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Two of the parables of Jesus, parables of the kingdom, and the common denominator is treasure and valuable things. The parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the merchant looking for fine pearls. The parable of the pearl of great price. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, we get a whole host of stories and pithy sayings and tales where Jesus is trying to give people an inkling into the nature of the kingdom of God. So the passages and the stories go something like this. The kingdom of heaven is like, and then Jesus tells a story. And he sort of says, go away and think about it. Parable of the mustard seed, the weed and the tares. Parable of the Good Shepherd, the parable of the lost coins. And here, in 44 to 46, parable of the hidden treasure, parable of the pearl of great price. What do we know about these stories? Well, the first story appears to be one of opportunism. A lucky figure who discovers hidden treasure in a field. And with the joy of this surprising discovery, he decides to sell everything he has in order to buy the field and possess the treasure. The point is that what has been found is of infinite value. It is incomparable. And other things become relatively less important. He wants to have the treasure. Second story is slightly different. It revolves around a merchant who spent his life collecting fine pearls and gems and stones. We assume he has some kind of knowledge and expertise. He knows what he's looking for. Spent his lifetime doing it. And then eventually he comes across the pearl of great price. If there was one pearl that you would want in your collection, this is the one. He spent his life looking for this one. And now, in similar fashion, he sells the rest of his collection in order to have the pearl of great price. something of infinite value. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. At the heart of our faith and our discipleship is the treasure, the incomparable, infinite treasure of knowing God and being in relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is about being open to the treasure of the kingdom of God. And in the light of this, other things begin to fall away in importance. And the kingdom of God and the nature of God and the love of God takes hold of us, takes hold of the whole of us, and requires a response of heart and mind and soul and body and strength and mind. Because it's so important and it's treasure of infinite value. So friends, the simple, well, deceptively simple, takeaway thought is that the gospel message and the Old Testament message encourage us, invite us to think that part of what we are called to be is to be treasure hunters. To be people who walk through life with their ears open, their eyes open, their hearts open, their spirits open to the treasure of the presence of God. The sights and sounds of the kingdom of God. How do we understand that? Well, it might be that surprising and joyful expression of kindness that we find ourselves on the receiving end of. It may be a moment where we feel a prayer or prayers have been answered and our heart is warmed. It might be being in worship and hearing something that we feel was meant for us and we feel challenged or comforted or spoken to. It may be a moment out in creation where we see a beautiful sunrise or sunset and we sense something beyond ourselves that is incredibly good and rich and real. It may be that moment where we feel the presence of God and we feel like we are standing on holy ground and God is near. It may be that simple and profound gift of knowing that we are loved and that we have given love and that God is the heart of love itself. Friends, we are called to be treasure hunters. Yes, there'll be the moments where we might feel a bit frustrated and we might feel as though God is a bit remote or a bit distant. But then suddenly, joyfully, unexpectedly, surprisingly, in the most unexpected place or through the most unexpected person, we find ourselves curiously near to the divine and God speaking to us. Treasure hunters. But of course, the other thought that goes with this is that not only are we called to be treasure hunters, we're called to be those who enable others to find the treasure too. Jesus was very clear with his disciples, wasn't he? You know, I will make you fishers of people. I will enable you to share my work in drawing other people into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you will be like salt and light in the world. You will be my witnesses in the world. You will be the signposts who point people to the possibility of God and the presence of Jesus and the fellowship of the Spirit. And what a joyful responsibility that is. It's both gift and responsibility. It's a gift to have that vocation, but it's also a responsibility. As we go back into the world as Christ's disciples, as people who can tell their stories of finding the treasure of God's kingdom, we are also called to help others to find that treasure too. I often reflect on the fact that I am only who I am and my ministry is only my ministry because of many, many, many people over the years who have encouraged me and prayed for me and enabled me on my Christian journey. And if I were to take a sheet of paper, I could begin to name those names and I would probably run out of paper. And I guess you and I would be similar in that respect. We would be able to name those significant people, those significant saints who helped us on our journey and helped us to find God and to find the treasure, the pearl of great price, that we dearly hold on to because it's so central and real and precious and wonderful and incomparable. Isaiah says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places. Friends, I want to commend to you that ministry of treasure hunting. And I want to commend to you the ministry of enabling others to find that treasure too. And I hope and pray that that will be at the forefront of your minds and your hearts in this year. In a year that is a year of transition for you as a congregation, as you move towards that beginning of next year, and as you welcome new ministry, and as you begin a new chapter and a new journey in the phase of the life of this church. Part of me thinks and believes and prays that actually this year of transition in between is really, really important for all sorts of reasons in order for you to be where you will be in September 2024. I shall be thinking of you and praying for you, and I shall look forward to hearing about stories of treasure. Treasure found, treasure shared, treasure celebrated. Amen.